He obviously, as it says, he became indignant. This sort of frustration that we see from our Lord surrounding this idea of our children. And then him using the image of children for us, saying that unless we accept and cling to the kingdom of heaven like children, we will not enter it. It's powerful imagery for us because many theologians say children, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to act like children, but a child is dependent. I think if Miles could speak right now, he would tell us that not only is he dependent on his parents to be fed, to be clothed, but also to be brought in to the sacramental life of the church, to be taught relationship. He's completely dependent. And so in the same way, we as Christians, we grow in our understanding as we become more dependent on our relationship with Christ. This is, I think, very important for us because we live, I think, in a time where our temptation is to say, I'm independent. To be dependent on another is weakness. And yet what we see in the image of our God is the opposite. That relationship, that dependency is necessary for the fulfillment of who we are. I think it's part of the reason that within this gospel, we see also Christ making a moral claim. He goes very specific into moral teaching in this gospel. Kind of strange for us, because a lot of times I think we see our moral code that we live by kind of trickles down from some of the truths that Christ speaks to and teaches in those larger commandments. So why spend so much time focusing on this piece of the moral law, on divorce and marriage? I think it's very powerful, and within it, Christ is establishing what before was the very first, oftentimes referred to as primordial sacrament, marriage, a sign of something inward reality that we then see elevated to one of our seven sacraments. Marriage is so important, and here we see it is so important to Christ. Why? Why does this gospel exist? Why does Jesus make sure that he clarifies even to his disciples the importance of what we believe about marriage? Many theologians, I would challenge anyone, I guess, to find a theologian who doesn't, says that this is because marriage reveals the image of our God. Marriage for us is the most tangible way for us to understand what a communion of persons looks like. A communion of persons that is so strong, so united that it is one. That is the mystery of the Trinity, right? Three persons, one God. This is a great mystery. And yet we hear as well within marriage that two become one. This is also a mystery. And it's something that we see has always been a struggle for us as human beings. How do we love so selflessly that we become one? It's a beautiful mystery that we see revealed to us within matrimony. And so that's why Jesus is willing to say it is so important. He's teaching specifically on it because through marriage, we see his very identity revealed. When we think about the mystery of the Trinity, it's something that we could contemplate for the rest of our lives and not have all of the answers for it. If we could explain it, then he wouldn't be our God. So one of the best definitions or explanations I've heard recently, I may butcher it, but it's St. Augustine's presentation of the Trinity, where the Father knows himself and knows himself so perfectly that knowledge exists. And it exists in the form of the divine word, the Logos, the Son. And the love between the Father and the Son is so full and so perfect that it exists. It exists as the Holy Spirit. A beautiful fullness within that dependency within the Trinity. in the Catechism, the paragraph 221, it says, God's very being is love, is this communion of persons. He's not just a God that is loving, he is love itself. By sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he has destined us to share in that exchange. God's identity revealed is powerful because it is our identity that we are destined for. What a beautiful promise and a beautiful reality. That's why when preparing for matrimony, couples are asked to look at that spousal love. There's four elements to it. That it would be free, total, faithful, and fruitful. That is a love that is completely pouring out for other. There's no safety there. There's no backup plan. It's complete gift. Prepping couples, a lot of times I'll warn them about the safety boat, safety like a life raft mentality. And how we as human beings, we need to fight that mentality. Because if we think I've got an out, I've got a safety plan, just in case this doesn't work out, well then it's not going to work out. Because we are not loving completely, totally, giving ourselves as complete gift. When we look at the crucifix, when we look at our God in this greatest image of love, there is no life raft there. There is no backup plan. The Son has continued, as he always has, to give himself completely. And that is the image in which we are to live as well. And so the beauty of this call is that Christ establishes a new order to things. Before the Mosaic law, yeah, it was tough. It was tough to live like that. So exceptions were made. Safety nets were put in place within the Mosaic law. But this law, the law that's inscribed on our hearts to make them alive, it's different. This is a different order of things that Christ is establishing. And he gives us the gift of his grace, his divine life, so that we can do it. In our baptism today, what a great witness for all of us to be reminded that by our baptism, we're brought into that relationship with Christ. We are given that share in that divine life. When it's difficult for us to love, we have grace that we are given to call upon, to ask for, to strengthen us. May we not forget that the life of Christ that we have been baptized into strengthens us to live this new way of life, to love more fully than we did before our Savior taught us how. And so I think the invitation, definitely for those of us who are married or living out a vocation of spousal love, let's do a little reflection. Am I loving freely with no conditions those placed in my life? Am I giving myself totally to those entrusted to me? Am I faithful to that love? And am I allowing it to bear fruit in our lives? And to all of us who aren't living out spousal love yet, am I preparing my heart that it wouldn't be a hardened heart, but it would be one that is desiring to love fully, to love radically, not holding anything back, but giving ourselves completely? Are we living and loving in the image of our God?